All right, good, good, good. If you got your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Do what? Mr. Doug, if you'd turn me down just a smidge. Miss Debbie said I'm fixing to blow her away. Called to be blessings. Do you think you're a blessing? We got one blessing. How about the rest of you? You know, the opposite side of that is curse. How many of you are blessings? Okay, I see four or five hands going up. Good, 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 good. Well, let's just see how much a blessing you are as we look at the characteristics. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 8. You know, this is a wonderful, wonderful passage. And in chapter 2, he got through talking about how we're to be submissive to the government, submissive to our masters over us, submissive to your husbands. Look, Rick is excited back there. He's going, yeah, brother, preach it. Go ahead. I got it. Ladies, your job is a whole lot easier because he also said, men, you're supposed to be willing to give up your life to meet your wife's needs. Are you glad?
Yeah.
See, it's always give and take back and forth on there. All right, now when we get into verse 8 of chapter 3, it begins to talk about the characteristics of the way that we ought to treat other folks, how we're to deal with other folks, brothers in Christ. There's going to be one here that's going to catch you off guard. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I love them, but I don't like them?
I heard that plenty of times before.
This may wear you out a little bit then. Just saying. Notice that we begin reading verse 8, then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days. How many of you think that you would like to really embrace life and have great times? Raise your hand. The secret's right here. All right? Here's the secret to that. Let's see. Let him refrain his tongue. So if you're going to be happy, you have to keep your mouth shut. The ladies are saying, amen. All right, let's go. Let's read all of it, okay? We can't just stop there. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's serious, isn't it? We want to be blessings to others, but we want to be blessed too, don't we? And this kind of gives you both sides of that. How to be a blessing to other folks. Guys, this is not something that comes easy. I don't know if you notice the character is about to step on my shoestring here a little bit. So if I fall, it just goes without whatever things as hell happened today. The light blew out. The song director didn't have a music sound guy. We did have a good day yesterday, though. We got the maze up. It's amazing. Got the refrigerator out of the office taken care of. Man, that thing would knock you over. We got that out. Praise the Lord. Mr. Bill made our sidewalk smile. He got rid of the dark stuff on it. And I did my part with the counting of candy yesterday. I tried to eat as much as I could so she wouldn't have to count it. Ask Mr. Bill when I come out to talk to him. I had a mouthful of candy. Hard to chew with those Tootsie Rolls in your mouth, those sour Tootsie Rolls. Wow. How do you treat others? Well, let's see what it says. You notice he put finally on this. So he's getting closer to the end of his letter, all right? So he's bringing up some important things here. And he says, first of all, you're supposed to be of one mind. What does it mean to have one mind? Live in harmony. All right. What does that mean? Well, that's what harmony means, but being of one mind means thinking the same. Guy says, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to be going in the same direction. All of us are supposed to be going in the same direction. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't disagree sometimes. All of us are different. All of us have different backgrounds, different moms and dads. And so and even if you got the same mom, let me ask you, brother, is all your kids exactly the same? Curtis, Betty, is all your kids exactly the same? I only got two, and they're not the same either. So even if you got the same parents, you may not be the same, okay? We're all different, so we're going to disagree on some things. But when it comes to where our Christian life's going, where our church is going, we need to have the same mind. Amen. We need to be going in the same direction. You know, Paul had to deal lots of times in the Scriptures with divisions. That's what 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is all about. Actually, there were four letters that we know of that was actually written to that church. They were carnal, they were divided, they thought they had all the spiritual gifts that made them perfect, all of those things, and Paul wrote two good letters that we can read and two letters we ought not read. You know, they didn't make it into the Scriptures. I think he was pretty serious on some of the things he had to say to them. Guys, we're supposed to be going in the same direction. What's the main job of the church, by the way? Well, yes. But really comes down to glorifying God by spreading the news and learning to walk with Christ. Guys, it's our job. I had a t-shirt somebody bought for me. I loved it. It says, leave no man behind. You know, that's one of those sayings that some of our armed forces have, special services, where they don't leave any bodies behind. Even if the person passed away, they try to get the body off the field and bring them back with them. Well, guys, what it is for us is the Great Commission. We ought not to want to see one person left behind. We want to see them all go when the Lord calls. Amen?
Amen.
That's part of what we need to do. All right, notice how it says that we're supposed to treat each other. Compassion. What does it mean to have compassion? Well, that'll be here in a few minutes. Right now, it's compassion. Not really respect. It's the heart that sees somebody hurting and you hurt with them. You know, it'd be like us sitting here and all of a sudden your attention's drawn to somebody and they just look miserable or something's going on in their life. I felt that way for Miss Debbie a while ago. She came back there, and she's bouncing off the walls. Everything's falling apart. And we were back there, and we had prayer with her. Just felt like we needed to pray for her because we could see the tension going in her life, trying to get everything ready. She wants to do the best job and have a great worship hour, and Satan was trying to be against everything. Must be doing something right. Compassion. When you see somebody hurting, you hurt with them. When you see somebody going through a hard time, you're going with it with them. You see it and you relate to it. It doesn't mean it's happening to you, but yet it is happening to you. When one of your family members are hurting, don't you hurt? Man, that's one of the things about being a pastor, more than anything, I dislike. I can't cause people to stop hurting. We just did a funeral just a while back, and Mr. Richard lost his wife about 47 years. He was breaking. I mean, he was breaking. Me and Kay Sharon was sitting there, and if I had a button I could push or a word I could say, you know, because I could just see it in him how he was broken over losing his wife. That's hard. Think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus came upon that scene of Lazarus. He's been dead for 4 days. Knew he's going to raise him up. He's God in the flesh. Jesus sees all the sisters, the neighbors, the friends gathered around, and it says he was moved with compassion, and he wept. Why was he crying? Over poor Lazarus? No. Now, Lazarus was probably going to cry in a few minutes when he comes back from heaven and has to split up with his sisters, but Jesus wasn't crying over Lazarus. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he could do. He had compassion over the brokenheartedness of those sisters and those family and friends that were gathered together going through grief. Compassion. Guys, we need that. We need that compassion in our lives. All right, what's the next one? Finally, all of you have one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Let me tell you what that word doesn't mean. That is not the agape love. That's not the word that you see most of the time in Scripture when it's talking about God's kind of love. This is phileo. You may know it by Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love. That's where the name comes from. It's a Greek word. The Scriptures tell us that we don't have a choice where to love everybody. And some people use that as an out. Didn't say I had to like them. Just said I had to love them. Well, if you take this one at full value, it says not only are you to love them, but you got to like them too. Now, I know somebody's going to say, Brother Terry, I had a brother. I didn't like him. In fact, I wanted to kill him. You ever notice that in a family when you got more than one, even though one gets picked on, if somebody else was to pick on that one, you know what the others would do? They'd kill the person picking on that one. That's my brother. I can pick on him, but you can't. All right, that's it. Believe it or not, that's love. I know that's hard to believe. There's always going to be a little rivalry with siblings and things like that, but for the most part, hopefully. You what now? You cannot deal with your sister. Do you love her? Would you protect her if somebody else was doing something to her? There you go. Guys, we are to like each other too. I got to be honest with you. It's not just a matter of, all right, I made a choice to love them. You got to like them too. Brotherly love, that's that affection. You know, that's not just that thing, I take a choice to love that person. Well, I hope you do that as well, but I hope you like them. But Brother Terry, you don't understand what they do. So you notice that he didn't put a qualifier here. If they do all the right things, love them as your brother. Didn't say that, did it? We're to love each other, guys. And yes, we are going to do things that make each other upset. I've never lived in a perfect family. I didn't have a perfect dad. By the way, he is still not perfect. I've known him for a lot of years. I had a mom. She wasn't perfect. She'd have told you that too. That's okay. She had also said you weren't perfect either, okay? That's my mom. My brother wasn't perfect. And none of them ever said that about me either. I want you to know that. Yeah. But I still love my family. My mom would make me so confounded mad. She's one of those persons that'll tell you what's on her mind, whether you want it or not. That was my mama. She didn't mind telling you, and once in a while she would use a, what's the term I want? When my kids got old enough, or, you know, got up a little bit, she spelled the words. After a while, they looked at Granny and said, Granny, we can spell. But guys, as much as I talk about my mom, I love her. Amen. You know, I read something not too awful long ago. It was a little note that she had sent in. Years ago, we didn't have a close hospital. Our closest hospital was Plant City. Brandon was a town a little bit closer to us, but it did not have a hospital. You had to go to Tampa or Plant City. You didn't have anything in between. And my mom was working for a doctor in Brandon, and the doctor knew how important it was to have a hospital close by. So my mom wrote a letter to the news people, telling how important it is to have a hospital there. And man, she had that Webster dictionary out, and she had every word in that Webster dictionary in that letter, I want you to know. She was fantastic with a dictionary. She really was. One of our favorite things to do was in the Tampa Tribune, used to have those word scrambles. You ever saw those?
Yeah.
You know, they get scrambled the words, you got to go in and figure out the word, which gives you another number, and you figure out this word gives you another number letter, and then you got to go and scramble those to get the main things. Love doing those kind of things. Up to the time that she got Alzheimer's. She did those things. So if you're trying to train your mind not to get Alzheimer's, I want you to know it may not work. May not work for you that way, okay? Just pray you don't get Alzheimer's. But you know what? No matter how negative things with my mom, I loved her. Guys, she'd have scratched your eyes out if you'd have messed with me. That was my mama. She might have scratched mine out too, but she'd have scratched yours out too. Yeah. Dad's the same way. You know, it's funny. People look at my parents and they go, your mom wore the pants in the family, didn't she? No, my dad was just quieter. Meaner, but quieter. You just didn't catch that. You know, when they weren't in front of people and my mom said something my dad didn't like, he'd tell her, we ain't doing that. It worked for them. My brother, I didn't get to know until, in fact, he got married when I was five, six years old. So I was like an only child. Do you know I had to call him sir when I was growing up? Mom, that's my brother! But I had to call him sir. That was, for my parents, there were no option. If somebody was older than you, you called them sir and ma'am, not yeah. You said yeah very often. You were visiting the dentist to kind of find them teeth that just got knocked out, you know. They didn't abide by that kind of stuff. It was yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no in between. I don't care what anybody else says. You can do it. And you know, I had really strict parents, but you know what? I loved them. That was my family. And guys, we are family. In fact, the Bible says closer than a brother. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we're to love and to like each other. Even though we're different, even though we may have some disagreements sometimes, we are to love and care for each other just like that. All right, let's look. What else? Tender-hearted. How many of you are tenderhearted? Well, I'm not seeing any guys' hands going up. It's all ladies. Oh, there's one guy. All right, buddy. I'm good with my femininity, too. I can do it. Just kidding, brother. You know, Mr. Don will start tearing up. And even old rough Curtis, big old Raymond. You loved Raymond too, didn't you? Raymond will leave you in the middle of the lake, though, if you you mess with him. I'm just saying. He came back to pick him up because he's afraid of what Mama would say. So, but you know, you see him up there talking about Jesus, and them old tears start. I mean, big hurt. Wrestles gators for a living. Raymond can pick the gator and the boat up. I had a guy that had served three tours of duty in Vietnam in my last church. And son, if they put the flag up or they played a patriotic song, tears would stream down his face. He was tenderhearted. He wasn't above not understanding what people are going through or seeing something that would just bless his heart. Guys, there's nothing wrong with being tenderhearted. In fact, I really believe God intended for us to be tenderhearted. Sin kind of hardens that a little bit, keeps us from doing what we ought. I had a guy in Bible college, I went to Bible college with, he could not preach a message without being in tears. I'm serious. He'd start preaching about Jesus, and he couldn't help but cry. I don't know what happened in his ministry. I don't know, you know. But he was just that tenderhearted, and to know what Jesus has done for us, it would just bring him to tears. Isn't that awesome to be able to do that? Guys, we need to be tenderhearted towards one another. Man, this verse is jam-packed. You notice that? Oh, look at that next one. Courteous.
Be kind and courteous.
What does courteous mean? How many of you open the door for your wife? You ain't married, brother. I said for your wife. How many of you open the door for your wife? Oh, there's. I got one up, two, three, one half up. Yeah. One of my best friends years ago when I pastored in Tampa, he ruined it for everybody else. Every place we went, everything we did, that we took our wives, man, he would be at the door. Guess what his wife would do if he'd forget? She'd stand right there, buddy. She wouldn't open that door for nothing until he came around there and realized it and grabbed on that door and opened it up. And you know, when you're hanging around him, you can't just not open your wife's door because you look really bad, okay? Everybody's looking at you. What's wrong with him? And getting back to that yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And having respect for folks older than you. In fact, in my world, my mom and dad, you didn't call people by their first name if they were older than you. If you've ever noticed, most of the time I will call you Miss, or, you know, I won't use your first name, just using your first name unless we're just super close or the same age. I call Mr. Curtis, Mr. Curtis all the time. You know, just courtesy, thinking about others, respecting others. You know, even in the scriptures, when it tells somebody like Timothy or Titus to correct someone older than you are, he says, be very careful. Correct that person like it was your mama. You know, I make the statement once in a while, that's good enough, I can slap my mama once. Because I'd be dead after that. You didn't disrespect my mom, okay? It was just one of those things you didn't do. Probably wouldn't have to worry about mom. It'd have been dad had been all over me. But, you know, it was just those things, teaching people to respect others. We need that today because we don't see that in kids today. Guys, I was afraid of my teachers. I was afraid of the principal. He woke up. I saw him. Boys, you see him raise his head, went up, man, when I said principal. I did not want to go to the office. I did not want to get in trouble with the teacher. Because if they called my house, you might as well just play taps. Because that's what it was going to be. So, you know, I knew that there was authority there, and I had to respect it. We've lost that today, haven't we? Well, guys, if the world doesn't get it back, we need to get it in our own lives. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now here's the kicker, because it gets worse. Let's go on and look and see what else he says. Not returning evil for evil. Now, you remember growing up and your dad saying, son, if you ever start a fight, when you get home, you might as well roll up those arm legs because we're fixing to have one ourselves. Just telling you. But he says, if somebody else hits you first, defend yourself. My brother got in a fight when he was in high school. In fact, the gentleman he got in a fight with actually died later on in Vietnam. But they were wanting to kick him out of school for a few days. My dad visited the principal and said, no, we ain't. In fact, my brother didn't start it. And so he changed that around. He would defend you, but make sure you wasn't in the wrong. But you know, the Bible says something else. It says don't repay back. Well, let's go on, because he doesn't stop there. He adds some really good stuff to it. He says, not return evil for evil or reviling for right. In other words, when they holler something at you, you holler something back. Not supposed to, that's right. Not supposed to. On the contrary, blessing. So what's he saying there? Do what? What if somebody just called you a name and you turn around and say, you know what, I hope God just blesses you. But it's hard to do. Hard to do. I mean, you know, sometimes we look at people who walk away from a fight and we think, oh, chicken. You don't think the kids don't think that. They do. But the person that walks away from that has a lot more courage than the person that swings. Because you have to control yourself, control your temper, and walk away. That's what the Lord says we ought to do. In fact, we ought to bless them. You know what bless them means? Speak well of them. Thank them. Thank you for that nose. I can breathe so much better now. That's what he's talking about. Not hit them back, not curse them back, but speak well of them. Man, that's hard, isn't it? Man. Well, let's go on. Let's read a little bit more. We don't want to lose out on all this good stuff. Not reviling evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings. Knowing that you were called to this. Guys, we're called to be a blessing. Amen. We're called to be a blessing. Not a rascal. I used to love the Little Rascals. You remember them? Alfalfa. Spanky. Buckwheat. Butch. Frog. Petey. Do you remember when Spanky was just a little thing? And there were, I think it was either spiders or roaches on the wall, and he had a ball peen hammer, and he was trying to kill the roach on the wall, and he was putting holes all in the walls. He was trying to kill it. If I remember the story correctly, the old man had hid some money in the wall or something, and Spanky found it by knocking a wall in like that. They called them little rascals because they always got in trouble. God's not called us to be little rascals. He's called us to be blessings. He said, "For he who would love life and see good days has to refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and not just seek it, but chase it." He said, "Above all things, you and I as believers should seek to be at peace with everybody." Oh, no, it's not. It's not easy at all. You know, guys, on our own, we can't do any of this stuff. I mean, you may have that kind of temperament where you can handle it better than somebody else. But for a person without the Lord trying to do these things, it's almost an impossibility, if not an impossibility. But through the Lord, all of it's possible in our lives. That's what's so great about God. You know, we're born the personalities we got. We have temperaments, and we have this, that, and the other, and, you know, we got that stuff. But the great thing about it is, do you know the Lord can change your personality? Really? Yeah. He can change your life altogether. I don't mean just from not having salvation to salvation. That's only just a part of what eternal life's all about. It's about changing everything from the inside out, not just dressing up the outside. You know, you can make a lot of things look good if you put paint on it. You can make an old barn look pretty if you put enough paint on it. When we bought our house, the one in Tampa, we went through the VA, and the VA is real strict about what they'll let you buy. In fact, everything's got to be fixed. If they catch anything wrong with it, man, if you get to go through the VA, that's great because they're watching out for your best interest. But a really dishonest carpenter can do some crazy things. He'll take wood putty and putty over where those termite holes have been, and then put a good set of paint on there. Unless the inspector just happens to hit that spot or see that spot, he might pass by something right there. You can clean the outside up and make it look better than what it really is. But God replaces the wood. He goes from the inside out and changes the inside out. Now, guys, he works in cooperation with us because he desires for us to be willing and trust him to do that. So you've got to work with him. But he can change it. I'd like to be that person that I just read all those characteristics about. I'd like to respond the right way every time, not lose my temper, not say the wrong thing. But unfortunately, I inherited my mom and dad too. So I need the Lord to make them changes in that area to make me that person that he's talking about. And I love what he says. Now this, by the way, this is part of a psalm. If you notice in verse 10 to 12, it's set off in your Bibles a little bit different. It's because it's a quote from somewhere. It's a quote from the Old Testament, one of the psalms. And he said, "He who would like to see good days and love life, it starts by taming the tongue. And then it goes through doing good." Now, guys, I'm not saying do good for your salvation, because you can't please God with all the good works that you want to do. Will not please God unless you already know Him as your Lord and Savior. See, it starts by faith, trusting in who Christ is and what He did for you. Then those good works are something that God desires out of our life. All right? So we're supposed to tame the tongue, do good works, seek after peace, pursue it, chase it at any cost. You know, sometimes it's hard to swallow your pride and say you're wrong. I have a hard time with that sometimes. Do y'all? Maybe it comes easy for you. But sometimes we just need to swallow our pride and say we're wrong. Sometimes we need to let the other person ahead of us in line. Do you like doing that? I don't. I made a commitment after I got out of the Navy that I didn't never want to wait in line again. Them folks want you to hurry up and get where you're going and then wait in line after you get there. That wasn't fun. You ever had to wait to talk on a telephone? No, Brother Terry, I got this. In boot camp, you had to wait in line until it was your turn before you could talk on telephone. You didn't have your little telephones with you back in those days. And by the way, even if you have one today and you go to boot camp, they'll just confiscate it from you when you first get there. Listen, they take everything away from you. Everything. It all belongs to me now. They'll put it in a little package and send it back to Mama. I wanted them to put me in the package and send me back to Mama. Guys, we need the Lord to change our lives to be those folks that are a blessing to others. And again, that's swallowing our pride, that's letting other people win and go first. And that strikes against everything that we were raised with and grew up with. But it's the right way. It's God's way. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I wouldn't mind having that wonderful love for life either that he just talked about. Having good days. I bet Miss Debbie a few minutes ago thought that she wasn't going to have a good day. Miss Gladys fell a while back, most of you know about it, and broke a hip, probably worse than anything you've ever saw. One of the worst, I guess, the doctors even saw. But they fixed it. She's doing real good, isn't she? My wife said they were even talking about putting her back in the...
She went back
there last month. Isn't that awesome?
Hallelujah.
Because you know the doctor first come out there and said, "You know, we cannot do anything, just put her in hospice." Boy, wouldn't that have been sad? Now, I want you to know something. Miss Gladys would rather be in heaven.
Amen.
She'll tell you that if you go there. She'll tell you to pray for her. Let God take me right now. But you know, when God's ready for you, you'll be out of here. I want you to know that. But until then, we're supposed to be blessings to others. I'm going to tell you, she's a blessing when people wait on her. Sweet little old thing. loves on you, pray for you. You like helping her. Guys, we're supposed to be a blessing to everybody around us. You know, he says something kind of crazy here a little bit farther down. Verse 13, he said, "And who is he who will harm you if you become a follower of what is good?" He's not saying it won't happen. He said, you narrow the odds way down, though. Hard to talk bad about somebody when they're treating you good. Not impossible. Somebody said, kill them with kindness. Well, we don't want to kill them, but we are to be kind. Let's pray. Father, we need to learn how important it is to treat people well, to respect them, to be compassionate towards them, tenderhearted, not just all prideful and stuffy, but really feeling what people are going through. Lord, it's so easy to return evil for evil. Not real difficult when somebody talks bad about you to talk bad about them. In fact, it seems to flow pretty easily. Father, help us to learn to be a blessing, to bless them instead. Because, Father, we represent you. The Bible says many times that you're a God of peace. The Scriptures also tell us that your Son is the Prince of Peace. The Bible tells us in the Beatitudes to be peacemakers. And the peacemakers will be called the children of God. Why? Because when we treat people right, and we go out of our way to bless them and minister to them, we're showing that love and that concern that you have for us, Lord. Lord, it's not in our strength that we can do it. We need your strength in our lives to be like Christ. Lord, work in our lives. Help us to be the men and women and young folks you want us to be. To a world that really needs to see truth and light. Help us to be that to the world, Lord, for you. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Father, I'm going to be standing down front in just a moment as Miss Deb leads in a hymn of invitation. And Lord, we're waiting to receive anybody that'd like to know how they can become that believer and trust you. Lord, the altars are open for those who want to come and pray. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Hymn number 282. Living for Jesus.